Psalm 122 is what we read this morning. The third of the songs of ascent. Continuing our brief series on selected songs from this section from Psalm 120 through 134, we arrive at this psalm this morning. Sermon this morning is based on the psalm, the entire psalm. The focus would be on the first five or so verses. Verse 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together, whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sakes, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Joy, gladness and joy. Beloved congregation, do those words characterize the thoughts of your heart when it comes to the corporate worship of Jehovah? Another week of our pilgrimage on this earth has gone by. A week wherein we have rubbed shoulders with the world once again, living here in this world, being drained from the interaction that we have with the world. Another week of trials and temptations have come our way with the unique struggles of the heart, which with every week, including the past week, that is brought to our hearts and lives. Another week of trying our utmost to live a life that's pleasing to Him. The life of faith. And the life of faith and trying to please Him in a world that is hostile to our faith, in a dry, spiritually dry and thirsty land where there be no waters. And so, beloved, we find ourselves in great need, don't we, of re-energizing, recharging our spiritual batteries, being renewed in our hearts and minds of our identity in the Lord Jesus Christ. Does that spiritual description resonate within your heart, your mind, and your soul this Lord's Day morning? Yea, indeed, every Lord's Day morning? Well, you're not alone. Understand that that spiritual state which I described was confessed and in fact sung by the Old Testament pilgrim as he took these words of Psalm 122 upon his mouth and sang them from the heart. We find Jehovah meeting the needs of the Old Testament pilgrim and meeting our needs throughout our earthly pilgrimage in the way of a conscious, purposeful, and understanding singing of His Word, even this song, this third of the songs of ascent. For as we will see, Psalm 122 is all about the pilgrim going to the house of the Lord and there determined to find renewal, much needed renewal within his heart and mind. There is therefore, beloved, the gladness of heart with regard to going there, and as well gratitude for being there, and as well, finally, a heartfelt desire for her peace. So consider with me going to the house of the Lord, the gladness of going there, the gratitude of being there, and the heartfelt desire for her peace. I was glad, that they, when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. That's how Psalm 122 begins, with the psalmist's gladness of heart with just the very thought of going there, the thought spurred by the speech among those he was traveling with towards Jerusalem. Gladness, joy. Just think of it, beloved, there is gladness and joy with just the thought, not being there yet, the thought of being there. Gladness and joy. Notice, beloved, what the attitude or feeling communicated here is not. It is not sadness, nor is it anger or madness. It's well worth noting, beloved, that the psalmist in Psalm 92 tells us that it is only the brutish man and only the fool who has these kinds of thoughts and attitudes when it comes to worship. And beloved, this can so easily be the case with us, especially with regard to sadness and as well, therefore, reluctance when we take things for granted, when we take for granted how good we have it that we could come here without any hindrance, come here freely and worship Jehovah. The attitude here is not that of sadness, nor reluctance, certainly not madness, nor is it even an earthly kind of joy. And by that I mean the predominant kind of joy when it comes to us participating in our favorite activity or hobby, be it hunting, sports, gardening. To be sure, beloved, there is nothing wrong with these sorts of activities, and there's nothing wrong with an earthly kind of joy with these sorts of activities, so long as we are not addicted to these things and find them to be our chief joy so that they are hindering us in our walk of life and faith. The psalmist speaks of joy and gladness. This is a joy that is derived from heaven, heavenly joy, spiritual joy, a joy that is genuine, true, and sincere. Well, how do we know that that joy is genuine and sincere? Well, one sure way is this, that there is sadness when we are not able to come for worship, especially for a period of time. The sweet psalmist David registers this feeling of sadness elsewhere in another psalm, in Psalm 42, particularly verses 4 and 5, which reads, "When I remember these things, I pour out my soul to thee, for I had gone," speaks of the past now, "I had gone," it's not the case that I'm going, but "I had gone with the multitude, I went," in the past tense, "with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day, I went. And now verse 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Now we ask the question here, what exactly was the occasion and time in which David was unable to come to the house of the Lord for a period of time? We don't know the exact occasion, but we do know, beloved, that there were at least two major periods in the life of David when he was unable, certainly not able, to come to the house of the Lord. When he was being hunted down by his king, Saul, and even worse, by his own beloved son, Absalom, he was unable to come to God's house. And while these circumstances were sad, especially the latter, David tells us that what makes him sadder and more sorrowful is the fact that he is unable to come to the house of the Lord. How about you? And how about me? Do we long to be here? Do we know that this is the place that we belong and find joy in our hearts when it comes to coming here for worship? Emphatically, the psalmist tells us right at the start of this psalm, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. This is the heartfelt joy of the Old Testament pilgrim traveling together with a bunch of other pilgrims towards Jerusalem. And notice about this joy that there was a certain character and characteristic of godly determination in this joy. There's meat and substance to this joy. Verse 2, Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. In other words, this was a joy and delight that was strengthened by a godly determination to be in the house of Jehovah. And you understand, beloved, that in those circumstances of the Old Testament, there had to be some kind of godly determination with regard to this act of going to God's house, don't you? Children, know that Jerusalem, the house of Jehovah, was far, very far for some of God's people, depending on where they started out, 50 to 100 miles. Some people live on the far northern part of Israel. 50 to 100 miles of travel, going through a few days of travel on foot, not with cars and minivans, to get to the house of Jehovah. My point here is this. Some amount of effort had to be put in to travel on the part of these worshippers. But what about us? What about us who travel not on foot, but yes, in cars, in minivans, in vehicles, and who don't take days to travel, and who don't live very far away from church? Was there gladness? Was there gladness and joy in our hearts when we shut the doors of our home? When we reversed our vehicles out of the garage and made our way to church? Or was there sadness, God forbid, madness? Was there sadness and reluctance, a lack of love, lack of joy on our part. What explains such lack of joy in our heart of hearts? Could it be this, beloved? Could it be an erosion of first love? First love for Him. Do you remember, beloved, first love and first love in your case as a believer and a member of this church? Do you remember first love that drew you to the courts of praise, the truths of God that are proclaimed here in this place in its richness, fullness, and its purity? Do you remember the time of first love in your heart of hearts? We do well, beloved, to recall what the Holy Spirit had to say, and indeed say to that church at Ephesus that left her first love. Revelation chapter 2, in particular, verse 5, first. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. And then verse 7, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. In other words, remember, remember first love, remember, repent, and rejoice. Remember, repent, and rejoice. Beloved, there is joy. There is gladness of heart in the believer when it comes to this whole practical matter of coming to the house of Jehovah. Why? What explains this joy? Three reasons this morning. Because, number one, of the real struggles and strife that the pilgrim and traveler to Jerusalem faces, and the great anticipation of God strengthening him in his house. Don't forget, beloved, in our study of this series of Psalms, how this series of Psalms began with the first song, Psalm 120. The pilgrim there makes a holy and sad complaint of distress. Distress from lying lips and hurtful speech all around him. Every day of the week, every hour, every moment, he is bombarded and assaulted by false speech, hurtful speech, angry speech. And the psalmist, trying to live peaceably in the midst of this world, finds it a constant burden and distress in his heart to deal with that false speech and hurtful speech all through his pilgrimage. And so he says under inspiration in verse 7 of that psalm, I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. And that's a struggle. That's a struggle that saps and drains him of his spiritual energy and vibrance. So now, as he is traveling towards Jerusalem, what does he do? He takes the second song of ascent upon his lips. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. In other words, he looks up. He looks up to Mount Zion. He looks up to Mount Zion because there Jerusalem is. He looks to Jerusalem because that's where the house of the Lord is. And that's where Jehovah dwells. And that's where he will find help. Much needed help for his weary soul. He looks up to the house of the Lord, where Jehovah God dwells. Powerful Jehovah. Able, powerful, mighty Jehovah who loves him. Jehovah God dwells there. And so as he sets his eye of faith upon Jehovah, he also is built up in his assurance that he will arrive safely there, that the Jehovah himself will preserve him in safety throughout his course of travel and there to be strengthened by him. That's the first reason. Second reason, in the second place, at Zion in his house, Jehovah God, who dwells in his house, who communes with his people, is pleased to shine forth his energizing, uplifting rays of his word. Rays which show forth his stunning, glorious beauty. That Jehovah shines forth his beauty in his house is what we read elsewhere, especially and most pointedly in another psalm, namely Psalm 27, verse 4, the verse which was the call to worship this Lord's Day morning. I'll read that verse once again. One thing, you see the focus there? One thing have I desired of the Lord. That's the one thing he has in his heart of hearts. That I will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. So what is the beauty of the Lord? Children, what is beautiful of the God of your salvation? What's the beauty of Jehovah? What is it? Isn't it this? Absolutely all and everything about him. That he is the triune God of fellowship and friendship. That he is the faithful God of the covenant. That he is perfectly righteous and just, perfectly merciful, perfectly holy, that he is gracious, that he is omnipresent, that he is omnipotent, that he is gentle, kind, gracious in and of himself, and therefore, from him comes forth beautiful, beautiful works of his. Beautiful creation. Upheld by the beautiful work of providence. And yes, most of all, beautiful, beautiful salvation. Is that not true, beloved, that that is the beauty of Jehovah? And do you not perceive that to be the beauty of the Lord God in your heart of hearts? Who can even compare with the wondrous beauty of our Lord? Well, how does God reveal his beauty in his house? by his word. We know that he is the incomparable, beautiful, all-glorious God of our salvation from his word. We know that, and it's no different with the Old Testament pilgrim. Now you recall, beloved, that with regard to the Old Testament pilgrim, that the Ark of the Covenant, which symbolizes Jehovah's fellowshipping presence with his people, contained three things. What three things? Aaron's blossoming rod, the manna, and then you have this, Jehovah's law or testimony. Testimony. And that, beloved, is the very same word that the psalmist uses in verse 4. Verse 4, first part of it, which reads, whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel. That testimony was made known unto them. That testimony of the word of Jehovah, which reveals wondrous and beautiful Jehovah. Through the testimony that was read, declared, and set forth, they knew Jehovah. And especially for us, through the reading and preaching of the word of Jehovah in the house of Jehovah, we know Jehovah. We see him, and we see him far more richly in our day and age of reality than they did in the age of types and shadows. For God now speaks to us by his Son, very plainly and very clearly through the preaching. That's our blessing. Beloved, we have been so blessed with so very much so that we are able to behold the beauty of Jehovah here in this place. And that strengthens our inner man. That uplifts us, renews us in our heart of hearts along our earthly pilgrimage. Yea, that gives us hope and joy. And not only that, we have joy simply by going to God's house, because in the third place, we so look forward to being together with others, to being together with others to praise him. Not by ourselves, not in our homes, but together as his people, united in one precious faith. Beloved, for that's what church is. That's what we are. We are an assembly. That's the Hebrew, one of the Hebrew words used to describe the church in the Old Testament. We are an assembly. Church is an assembly. Members of the church, therefore, assemble, gather together at an agreed place for worship. Now, we may be thankful, beloved, for technology that takes away some of the edge of suffering completely when we are unable to come to God's house for good reason. But I'm sure we all agree that is not the same as being here in this place, assembling here together in worship. The Word of God in Hebrews chapter 10 exhorts us, and exhorts us in a very strong way, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together for worship. No. We want to be here. It's our heart's desire. There is joy and gladness when we come to the Lord's house. In the heart of the child of God, walking close to him, there is already, in fact, gladness. As the day approaches, as the day begins, and as he makes his way to the house of the Lord. Was that not the case with you this morning? That joy, the joy of the pilgrim, going to the house of the Lord, is going to give way to the gratitude of being there. The psalmist teaches us this in verse 4 when he writes under inspiration, "Whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord." We give thanks. We express our gratitude to God when we arrive here because we see beautiful things about Jerusalem, which we can and which we must give Him all the credit for. Gratitude for the spiritual virtues found in the church when we behold her is a golden thought and thread that's threaded through all 150 Psalms, the inspired songbook of Jehovah. In Psalter 132, which versifies Psalm 48, we find that thought expressed, especially in the stanzas 1 and 3. We sang that moments ago. Stanza 1, "Within thy temple's sacred courts, with loving and adoring thought, we contemplate thy grace, O God, and all thy deeds with mercy fraught." Stanza 3, "Encompass Zion, count her towers, and mark her strong defenses well. Consider all her palaces, and to your sons her glory tell." We see the church as a place of strong refuge and safety. The psalmist does, and give thanks to God for that. We see the church, the psalmist does, as a place where Jehovah's grace is seen. And now here in Psalm 122, the psalmist here beholds the order, the lovely order that is within the church of Jesus Christ. That comes out in verse 3 especially. "Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together." In other words, she does not consist of a random haphazard collection and scattering of tribes and families that are gathered here and there, everywhere. But the people, beloved, are brought together and brought together in an orderly way. There is an order within the house of God. God-fearing people with their God-fearing children and families worshiping together. There is order in the worship, and particularly there is order in the word that is being ministered and brought to God's people. There is order. And the psalmist gives thanks to God for that. Still more, in the second place, the psalmist also in Psalm 122 also beholds the righteousness and justice of Jehovah found within His church. That comes out in verse 5. "For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David." The righteousness and justice of God is set forth in the word being declared, the word set forth, the word preached, and yes, also the word confessed. The three forms of unity have a beautiful biblical order as well. And as well, more and more, by the grace of God, the righteousness and justice of God is seen in the lives of God's people gathered together, assembled together in his house to jointly praise his name. There is order, there is righteousness and justice. Of course, there's more, but these are the elements we find in Psalm 122. Order, righteousness and justice, beloved, and we recognize, don't we, the source for that order and the source for that righteousness and justice, the beautiful order and the beautiful righteousness and justice of Jehovah found in God's house. It's Him. It all comes from Him as He graciously works that in the hearts and lives of His people, gathered together for worship. And so, we join in. We join in together with the psalmist to do as he does, as he tells us in the second half of verse 4. To give thanks unto the name of the Lord. It's a beautiful name. I see His beauty and I see His beautiful works, especially within His house. And so I give thanks. We give thanks unto the name of the Lord. And in this way, we are led once again in the house of God to contemplate the greatness, the beauty, and the glory of God, the inexhaustible, unsearchable greatness, beauty, and glory of Jehovah, a beauty which no finite preacher can ever bring forth in all its fullness, and a beauty and glory which a finite worshipper, together with a finite preacher, can never fully comprehend at all. We come to behold, to contemplate the beauty, the wonderful beauty and glory of Jehovah. And being in the house of God, where His beauty shines forth from His word and from His church, our hearts swell in gratitude unto Him, the great God of our salvation. But of course, for him who does not know God, for him who does not know God, he cannot even enter, let alone see the kingdom of God. He sees, for such a one, he sees totally zero value with being in Jehovah's house. For him, being at church is no different from being in a stadium, an arena, watching a sport that has no interest to him. And when it comes to the neighbor that is outside the church, what else should we expect? Our neighbor is lost in sin. He needs Jesus. And most certainly, we don't want to be like him, do we? And so don't we want to let our light so shine and tell him about Jesus and the difference, the absolute difference that Jesus makes in our hearts and our lives? What a difference. What a difference Jesus makes within us. We have gladness and joy. We have gladness and joy going to God's house. We have gladness and joy of knowing Jesus Christ. We have gratitude for being here. We have hope. we have joy. We long to be here because we are also here with others who share that same hope and joy. What accounts for this? Isn't it? It's because we love Him. And because we love Him, we also therefore love all who are in Him. Indeed, that's expressed by the psalmist in verse 6. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, they shall prosper that love thee. That's the heart of our religion. Love. They shall prosper that love thee. And understand, beloved, this is not a vague, general kind of love for the great, big, invisible church of all ages. Sure, there is a love for that great, big, invisible church. But that's not what the psalmist has his eye on in verse 6. He has his eye on a local house of God with real members. Members that he knows. Real members who are really connected to Jesus. Who are really covered by the blood of Jesus. But who also have very real faults and weaknesses. Every one of whom is far, far from perfect. There is a real love for a real local church. There's an esteem for the real communion that takes place here in this place with all these real members of the church with real faults and weaknesses. An enjoyment that can only be known, of course, by being here together with others who love Jehovah. That's true. That is the heartfelt love and longing of the pilgrim, seen in his determination with regard to Jerusalem and the house of God. That we had already seen at verse 2. Our feet shall stand within the house of God. It shall stand within the gates of Jerusalem together with others. And that heartfelt love and determination is finally crystallized and fulfilled when the psalmist and the pilgrim of God finally and very really arrives there. We see that in the broadest context of the Songs of Ascent when we have our eye now set on the final two songs of this series of songs. Psalms 133 and 134. In Psalm 133, the psalmist revels at the unity of the saints brought together. Blessed are they who dwell together in unity. And that's not something abstract or theoretical. For in Psalm 134, we read of the fact that they are finally arrived in the house of Jehovah, standing in the house and doing what? Jointly praising the Lord. Gathered with others who are imperfect as he is, filled with faults and weaknesses, standing together with others who nonetheless love Jehovah with an imperfect love to praise his name. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. O beloved, do you love your brothers and sisters in the Lord? Do you love them in spite of their faults and their weaknesses? Do you speak well of them? Do you treasure, therefore, your membership in this church? And do you care for her well-being and therefore the well-being of every one of her members? Really? You mean it? Yes, beloved, there will come a time when we can no longer come to this place, either by age and frailty of health, or by the fact that the church doors are locked, the church building burnt down, and it's no longer possible for us to meet here in worship. But till that day come, let each one of us say in our heart of hearts, our feet shall stand. Shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Is that your confession? If that is the case, then undoubtedly yours also is the heartfelt desire for her peace. Something which is brought out in the verses 6 through 9, which close the psalm. This peace, beloved, within the church is a precious peace. For it comes at a costly, costly price. For this precious peace is only possible when there is peace with God in the heart of the believer, the individual member himself. It's only possible when there is peace with God. When there's vertical peace, only when there's vertical peace, there is a horizontal peace experienced and enjoyed with others. If it is so then, beloved, then we will be patient and kind with each other. If it is so, then we will be plenteous in mercy. If it is so, beloved, we will be gracious to one another, forgiving of one another, cognizant, of course, of the faults and weaknesses that each and every one of us has. If that is the case, that we will continue loving one another and be very careful and deliberate in staying far and clear from acts of schism that have plagued and still continue to plague to some degree our denomination of churches. If we do, then we will also truly indeed have a heartfelt desire for true peace within the church and denomination of which we are part. And then the expression of that desire of the psalmist will also be ours, and ours more and more. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls and prosperity in her palaces. For my brethren and companions' sakes, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. Amen. Heavenly Father, bless this word and renew and restore unto us also the joy of our salvation, the joy of knowing Christ, the joy of living in first love, and therefore the joy and gladness of being here in this place from Lord's Day to Lord's Day. Make us more and more to see thy beauty. Help him who proclaims thy word with weakness every Lord's Day to show forth some of that beauty, and help us all as worshippers to to take in the word that is brought, and for ourselves by faith see the beauty of thee, the great God of our salvation, more and more. Hear us and forgive us, for we ask all these things in his name. Amen.